This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Well, we look ahead now to Dunedin Fringe Festival 2024. It all gets underway on the 14th of March through the 24th. A hugely busy and varied program of events, 80 plus. I hope you're planning your Fringe Festival experience now and getting your tickets in advance. We know Dunedin audiences aren't great at doing that, but Fringe is definitely worth you spending your time and planning out your experience and supporting as much as you can and trying something new. And indeed, that's what Fringe is all about. Time for us now to take a look at one of the many events that's coming up through Fringe. It's called The Gurmit. It's on at the New Athenaeum Theatre on Saturday the 23rd and Sunday the 24th of March. The Gurmit's creator joins me on the line now, Nadia Freeman. Nadia, morena, good to have you with us. Thanks for coming on board the Awesome Morning Show.
Morena, thank you very much for having me on the show. It's so great to speak with you and your listeners today.
Nadia, this piece of work started out of a bit of curiosity about family history. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so my family are from Fiji, although my mother's side of the family as well is from Fiji, although of Indian descent. And we've always known talked about our Indian heritage and known mum was from Fiji, but didn't really know much more about that. She grew up on a sugarcane farm. And when I asked her questions about how they had a farm and what happened there and how they came to move from India, she didn't have all the answers. So I decided to start doing some research and looking into how a lot of Indians came to be living in Fiji and the process that happened there. I knew they'd been brought over as workers, but not the situation behind that. And then what I found out was actually pretty awful. And I guess it was so awful that people didn't want to talk about it, which is why that oral history for some families hadn't been passed on. And the more people I talked to of that generation, quite a few of them said that their parents never really told them what had happened.
Mm. So we're talking here about the Gurmitjas and their indentured labour contracts that, well, the more you dug, the more horrified I imagine you became about what was expected of this generation of workers.
Yeah, I mean, I'd heard my aunties and some people talk about how it was kind of referred to it as slavery, and I thought that was perhaps an exaggeration, but as I more looked into it, it really was a system set up to replace slavery because there was a demand for products at an affordable rate manufacturing-wise, and they still needed to fill that labour gap. So they created a system called indentured labour where it appeared that they would be employees, but it really wasn't very different. There was a lot of coercion and lies around the signing up of the workers. Many didn't know they were even leaving India, or told it was just half an hour away from where they were living. So when they were put on a boat and taken, you know, thousands of miles across the world, it was a huge shock. And then that they were signing up for a minimum 5 years' labour. And yes, they were paid, but if you put it in today's terms of what our cost of living, it would have been about $20 a week. So yes, you can call it being paid, but it really isn't being paid if you're not able to afford any commodities. And they were fed, but they were only fed enough food for 4 days for a 7 day week. So they had to supplement their food with any money that they did have.
And primarily what work were they doing?
They were working as labourers on sugar plantations in Fiji mostly, and I think that was very similar in the Caribbean and South America where other Indians were taken. So my family was mostly working in the plantations, actually pretty hard labour, starting at crack of dawn and going until sunset, so we're talking 14-hour days. There were different other positions available. I think some people worked in the mills as well.
How far through this journey of discovery for you did it occur to you that you wanted to tell this story through your art?
I don't know, maybe pretty early on, I was already wanting to create a show, and I knew I wanted that show to be using electronic music. So I guess it was just, as I was going through it, it just became really aware. Like, I guess I got quite angry looking at the history, not angry at anyone in particular, because I think if you look into anybody's history, there's going to be terrible things, but I guess just the fact that nobody knew about it and just really realised it. And I just felt like this huge debt to my ancestors because, you know, I live a pretty comfortable life. I don't have to worry about working 14 hours hard labour and what how much food to eat. So I just wanted to honour them. So I knew that I'd need to tell their story to do that. So I wasn't sure if electronic music was an option for telling a story of indentured labour in Fiji, but the more I thought about it, the more I realised that by changing the way I did deliver electronic music, I could do that show.
And electronic music for you, it's already part of your life and your repertoire, of course, but quite different from the music you're constructing for this piece.
Yeah, so normally I make like alt pop, or over the summer I've been making a lot of techno, but this is not what I've used for this show. I think what formed the basis of how I was going to construct the songs was I decided I wanted to use props or artifacts of the story into the soundscapes of each composition. And because I think for some people, if they don't listen or see a lot of electronic music, it can be a bit of a mystery. And I wanted to break that barrier between me and the audience about electronic music. So I thought if I took items from the story and I made noises with them and looped them in to the soundscape of the song, they would get to be part of the music making with me. So you actually get to see how I'm doing it as I'm going. So each song takes a little while to get built up as I'm constructing that soundscape. And that forms the basis of how the music's made. So there's still quite a bit of variety in the rhythms and tempos, but definitely not music you would dance to.
And so what is your hope for this piece in terms of, you know, what you've learned about your family history? Is it your hope that through this piece audiences will also start to learn more, inquire more?
Yeah, it's an education, but it's also, you know, it's still entertainment for people to come see some music, hear a story. And it's not all sad, because people who've gone through worse conditions will always find a reason to be happy. And I guess, and ultimately, it's a story of resilience. So I want people to be feeling an understanding of just how resilient we are as humans, but also be educated about our history, which is also current, because bonded labour and slave labour, they're still happening all the time. We know a lot of people know about the FIFA World Cup in 2021. The people were taken from Nepal and India, told they were going to get great jobs, had their passports removed from them as soon as they arrived. It was 2021, you know, human rights been really removed. And then about 2,000 of them died during the construction of the facilities for the FIFA World Cup, which is a billion-dollar franchise. So they should be able to afford decent working conditions, but choose not to. So, yeah, I really want to educate people about human rights and the things that we go and raise it. Because if we don't learn from our history, I don't think things will really change.
Just turning back to this show itself, The Gurmit, as an artist, you're putting yourself in a slightly precarious situation, I imagine, by doing some of what you're doing, shall we say, in live response to the soundscapes that are being created. Tell us a little bit more about how actively you are working with your music on stage.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's some things I'll do to mitigate race. I've definitely been the first showing where there was an error. So sometimes things go wrong, which is part of live performance. You know, even when you're acting, things go wrong. So I'm taking that sample. I'm making the sound live, and then I'm taking that sample and then I'm looping it. But I'm also manipulating the sound and creating layers of it. The other things that I also use a sequencer called a Deluge Synthstrong, which is made in New Zealand, and it's looks like a fun box of coloured buttons where I've got some tracks that I've pre-made in there that I move through as I'm going. So there's a bit of handling with that, but that's sort of set. And then I also play on another synthesizer with a mini log, which is like playing the piano really, but I'm using different sounds for it. And then I'm singing as well. So it's through those lyrics that you start to get the story. I also use poetry, and there's recordings from Fijian Indians also repeating some of the lines that I found in the archived accounts.
Have members of your family seen the show?
My mum has seen it. Yeah, she was really... it's the first time in my life I've heard her say she's proud of me, so that was really nice. and it's a really Asian thing. Asian parents don't like to tell their kids they're proud of them, but they do. You do know that they are anyway. And I think overseas, and I don't have much family here in Wellington, so overseas they're really eager to see it, and they've really been supportive of what I've been doing. In fact, one of the voices is my uncle in Sydney. I recorded him over Zoom. I include his voice as one of the narrators. So, I hope to be able to take it to places that they can go. I'm going to be performing it in Hamilton, where I have some family members close by, so hopefully they'll see it then.
I did wonder. I did wonder whether they were keen to have this story revealed. I mean, you know, you came to it quite late in your own life in terms of, you know, recency, and you know, in that regard, you know, there might have been some reservation potentially. You might have been aware that there might be others who weren't so comfortable with the story being revealed, who've just wanted to move on. But that's not the case.
Yeah, I thought that might be the case, and I was prepared that telling the story, not everybody would be so happy to hear. It's actually been mostly welcoming. I think we're four generations on. It was 100 years ago for our family in that particular situation. So I think people have had time to improve their living conditions, heal from that trauma. And I think that's why it's actually, and interestingly enough, when I approached the Fijian Indian Society in Wellington about it, and then the vice president said to me, she said, a lot of people your age and of your generation are wanting to know about now. And I don't know what it is about our age or this I suspect being a fourth generation, you're just enough removed to be ready to look into it. And after every show, I actually find that somebody approaches me and says, I've been looking into this too, and I've been making this art. Something about the pain of it compels people to want to express it, work through it with art, which I find really interesting. So now that I've made the work, I've had people in the community reaching out about the work they've been made, and I think we're going to have some more collaborative things together, which is really exciting. And it's been mostly open art. In fact, half of my audience in Wellington ended up being from the Fijian Indian community, which I wasn't expecting, but they really want to hear their story. I think the fact that it's a buried history, it's sort of cathartic to have it taken out again.
Well, we can't wait to see it here in Otipoti, Dunedin, Saturday the 23rd and Sunday the 24th of March, as part of Dunedin Fringe Festival 2024 at the New Athenaeum Theatre. Nadia Freeman, thanks so much for taking some time to join us here on ORFM to tell us a little bit about the Gurmit. And all the best for your visit here.
Thank you very much. Oh, I'm really been really nice talking to you. And yes, I'm very excited to have some Dunedin audiences at the show.
Kia ora.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.